Jesus. You see, this is what happens. When you call upon the name of Jesus, He responds. Holy Spirit, You are so welcome. You are welcome in this place. Everyone watching my way of television right now, just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. You see, this is Pentecost Sunday, but know this, that the power of God is not limited to flow and operate only on Pentecost Sunday. You can tune in or even rewatch last week's service and it will speak of the presence of God, the power of God. God is not restricted or limited to move only on Pentecost Sunday. Sadly, there are those who approach today from the perspective of religion, thinking that there's going to be something mystical about this day, something somewhat special about this day as opposed to last week or next week. You see, if you approach today's broadcast thinking something's going to happen just because it is the day of Pentecost, you have approached it from a religious point of view. There are those who even will say today, oh, they mourn about the fact that they could not be there in the upper room 2,000 years ago. I've heard people pray, oh, that we would have just been among the 120. But you see, this is the problem in approaching Jesus as a historical figure. Believing that once upon a time He lived and walked upon this earth. That He is just somehow yet another historical figure. And that 2,000 years ago, which we read about in Acts chapter 2, simply speaks of a historic event. Oh, but how glad I am that we're not watching the History Channel right now. For this is Faith TV. And we believe that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's about having a now faith in a now Jesus for a now miracle. If you believe that, come on, shout amen with me. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now it occurred that while the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the message of God, He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. And He saw two boats drawn up by the lake, but the fishermen had gone down from them and were washing their nets. And getting into the one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, who is Peter, He requested him to draw away a little from the shore. Then He sat down and He continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. When He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, also known as Peter, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul. And Simon Peter answered, Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets. But on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And as the nets were at the point of breaking, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and take hold with them. And they came and they filled both boats, so that both these boats began to sink. Verse 2, it says, and he saw two boats drawn up by the lake, but the fishermen had gone down from them and were washing their nets. Yet Jesus finds these fishermen, partners together in business, washing their nets. Why is that significant? Because it speaks of them wrapping up after their night shift. They're about to go home. They are exhausted. And what makes matters worse is that they were toiling all night, working hard all night, and had nothing to show for it. It makes me think of some of my DIY projects that I've worked on. Now, I must say, I've gotten better, and I'm still getting better. But there's been times when I just started. You know, you just got married, and I want to impress my wife. Want to build something, spend the entire day building it, putting it together. And how many of you know, now comes that moment when you've got to test it out. After an entire day of working, you test it out. And as you test it out, it cracks, it breaks. Come on, how many of you know it's like a supernatural strength comes over you and you take that thing and you fling it? Don't look at me so religiously this morning. But you know what it is like having had worked so hard on something. You're exhausted. Your hands full of splinters, blisters. Your body is aching because of all the hard work you put into it. Despite all the hard work, you had nothing to show for it. This is the place where these fishermen found themselves. Exhausted, most likely cut, bruised, hurting in their bodies because of the work. Nothing to show for it. Some of you are watching right now. Oh, you've worked hard. I see those tears. Oh, Jesus. Touch your people. Holy Spirit, comfort them. For you are the comforter. Some of you have even lost your jobs. And you've lost your job unfairly. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. I release over you right now a sevenfold anointing, sevenfold recompense in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There it is. Let the love of God come and touch you, fill you. May you walk in His peace, knowing that He will vindicate you in Jesus' name. But these fishermen had reached rock bottom. And as Simon is busy there washing his nets, he's about to go home. He's about to have some well-deserved rest when Jesus steps onto the scene. And getting into one of the boats, the one that belongs to Simon Peter, he requested him to draw away a little from the shore. He sat down and continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul." Now keep in mind, as I said, that this is exactly what Simon and his partners had done all night long. They were master fishermen. They knew everything there was to know about the Sea of Galilee and lakes or seas in general. They could have said to Jesus, "I heard that you were the son of a carpenter. And look now, the carpenter's son wants to teach us sons of fishermen." They could have said that. Maybe they thought that. But the Bible doesn't say that that was their response. Simon never did that. He never responded in that way. You see, what was busy happening all along was while Jesus was preaching, Simon was there sort of to the side washing his net. But since he was in the vicinity, he would have heard the words of Jesus spoken from his very boat. Now the Bible declares in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is exactly what had happened. Seeds of faith was being sown all along. All the time that Simon was simply busy washing his nets, seeds of faith were sown. After Jesus' teaching, he then gives a command. He gives a command. He says, let's go out. Let's do another trip. Let's do another round. Lower your nets again. And this is where, even today, we cannot just sit under the anointing. You cannot just listen to this message and say, Pastor, good sermon, good word. Oh, there was something special about the service today. And not respond. You see, the reason why Jesus sowed the seed of faith was to also expect a harvest from that. He was expecting Simon to not only be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer. Because faith, unless it is accompanied by action, means nothing. It is dead. It is rotten. It is stinking. So what God was actually saying through the scripture, even to every single one of us today, that it is time for us to launch out from the shallows and launch out into the deep. In essence, it comes down to moving away from what we can only refer to then as shallow faith to a deep level of faith. To that place where you are actually able to walk on water, where you are able to see a supernatural demonstration of His power and of His glory. God is speaking even now to some of you about doing this very thing. You say, I'm exhausted. You say, even right now, I've been eating the bread of anxious toil. You have nothing to show for it. In fact, the effects of 2020 are still there in your life right now. It's still evident. It can still be felt. It can still be seen. But hear the voice of the Lord as He says to you, let us go out together. Let us go out together. You see, when Simon and his partners were out fishing all night, exhaustingly, and had nothing to show for it, Jesus was not there. Jesus was not part of that party, part of that partnership, so to speak. But this time round, things are going to be different. Now, it is uncomfortable, especially when you're already exhausted, to launch out again, to get things ready again. It's not about just going out. It's prepping everything. It's going out after the necessary preparation. Time is for preparation, but season for manifestation. And they were about to see the manifestation of the miracle-working power of God. There was no sign in the natural that things would be any different. Quite honestly, the conditions were still exactly the same. Or let me rather say, the external conditions were still the same. But something has happened on the inside of Simon. Faith rose up. Faith shot up on the inside of him. And he's about to see that faith is the most powerful force. In fact, it is the force that is about to propel him from a place of obscurity to a place of significance. Faith is the force that propels you towards your destiny. Faith is the force that propels you towards greatness. And so it is. Verse 5, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night exhausting and caught nothing in our nets, but on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again. At first, he responds the way that he normally does, but then faith kicks in. Faith kicks in. Have you ever had like an injection that you've received from the doctor? You get the injection, you can feel it, but the effects of it, sometimes you only get it a couple of seconds later. It only hits you a couple of seconds or maybe a couple of minutes later. And in this very same way, this only way I can really equate to what has just happened. Simon still wants to answer like he would have. The normal response. Well, we toiled all night, had nothing. And it's as though he interrupts himself. You know, I could just imagine him locking his eyes on Jesus. You know, Jesus just looking at him as he's going on. Well, we tried all night, exhausted, had nothing. And then he just sees Jesus is not moved by his complaints. Jesus is not even moved by his unbelief. Jesus is constant. And I believe as he would have looked into his eyes, he would have been reminded, is anything impossible for God? Have faith in me. And he interrupts himself by saying, but on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again. You might say, I've done it before. I've tried it before. Lower the nets again. You might say, I've done all of this before, but do it again. Only this time, do it by faith. You see, there's no such thing as try. Either you're committed to something or you're not committed. When you are committed to something, you will see it through and you will see it be made manifest. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Someone say, it shall accomplish. That which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, God is committed to seeing the fulfillment of his purpose. God is committed to seeing the fulfillment of his purpose, and so should all of us. You see, we cannot only wet our feet in the shallows and call that faith. Hey, I'm in the water, but your toes are not even underwater. You can't just wet your feet in the shallow water and call that faith. Living life in the shallows is not a life worth living. Jesus didn't come to this earth and die the way he did so that we can try and live an easy life. Living a comfortable life. I put it to you that everything that you have ever desired, everything that you have ever need, that every single thing that you could ever desire from your innermost being is always found just outside of your comfort zone. In other words, I'm saying to you, get ready to be uncomfortable. Moving by faith, living by faith, being led by the Holy Spirit is uncomfortable. What I mean by that is the Holy Spirit will set up an opportunity for you to minister, and there will always be a reason why you would not have to do it then at that moment. or why you just couldn't just postpone and do it another time. I just want to mention this. During this week, I was awaiting delivery of quite a few different items delivered to our office right here in Buffalo City. And I got the call that one of the guys from the company that we purchased some supplies from had personally come to deliver these supplies. We took the opportunity to also just show them around our facility, and so they can also see what it is that we do. And the Lord just pressed upon my heart to ask this young man whether or not I could just pray for him. And Brad was right there with me. We were in the dome. And he will even testify to this, that this wasn't one of those laying your hand on someone and the person is slain under the Holy Ghost, or you lifting up your hand and there he is flying 10 meters away. It wasn't one of those like poof and something happened. It was even right now in this moment, in this kind of atmosphere, where I simply looked at him and it's like I locked eyes with him and I saw, or let me rather say, the Lord allowed me to see things in the soul realm. And I asked him a couple of questions. And then I said, I want to pray with you. And I prayed a simple prayer. I prayed in a tone of voice which literally just sounds like I'm speaking to you now. There was no raising of my voice. There was no cursing the devil. There was no hundai shundai and anything else. It was just praying for him, for particular things that the Lord had shown me and things that he had even expressed. In the natural, or should I say to the senses, it didn't appear as though anything was happening. I mean, he just stood there, head bowed, eye closed, as I prayed for him. After I'd prayed again, it didn't appear as though anything in the natural had happened. But then all of a sudden, after he had left, a few hours later, I received an email from his employer, his boss, saying, "Kev, I don't know what you did. I don't know what happened. But let me tell you, in the future, I'm going to be making the deliveries myself, because whatever it is that happened to him, I need that in my life." Never miss a moment to minister, to witness, to love on someone. Let us always remember, although today is the day of Pentecost, that we reflect on the day the Spirit was poured out. Remember, there's not going to be another day of Pentecost. Just like Jesus is not going to come to be crucified again. That already happened. What we must do is to live through the cross, from the reality, the revelation of Pentecost, knowing that I today am a carrier of His presence, a carrier of His glory, a carrier of His fire, but also that I live by faith, that I'm pushing the limits, that I'm leaving the shallow waters and pushing on to the deep, which will lead me to the greatest harvest of my life, which will release me into my destiny, so that the Lord and Him alone will get the glory.